Okay, so what's the question? Yeah.
Input format is like this. I started to put it on the board. And the problem is that it uses a blank line to separate successive input cases. And CN just skips over blank lines and blank characters, high spaces.
Okay. So is there a way that you, how would you use CN to do this? Right. So
gets the returns one character this line or one character.
Okay, what we do?
Get C is for C, C N is an object plus there's a function called that C in dot get, and that'll get the
C in dot get will do what?
It's equivalent get C.
I see. Okay, so I mean my sketch is sort of the general stream, input stream mechanism gives you some kind of formatted input. That's right now what the problem is. Okay, is it presumably what it is it's, you say C into a variable, and it's expected to get that thing and stick it in the variable. And what you're saying is it's overlooking blank lines, because it's sort of looking ahead. This is the same kind of problem that happens in C when you use scanf, which is my usual way of reading these things. Is you sometimes get weird things because it's some kind of a formatted input statement, okay? And so the way that they recommend solving is to read it a character at a time in these cases, okay?
And I guess I would.
Well, the way that I would actually, if I would do this, is in C what I would do, to be honest with you, is read it a line at a time. Okay, if I could get S to get a line, okay, if I remember correct, get string would give me a line at a time. Okay, and then I would just check to see whether it's empty or not for that other case. But such is life. Any other questions about that? Okay. I mean, one reason why some of the programs may have been failing is because of something silly like reading the input wrong. Okay, and so that's something that would be good to fix up in the
closing minutes of the semester.
Okay, thank you. Did everybody sign up? So if we're missing three people in the class, we've got no problems. Okay, good. So what I'd like to talk, let's go through the problems today. We've been doing the... thank you. We've been doing computational geometry. Let's just take a quick look at the problems. Okay, I know the answer is no. How many people got all four? How many people got three? How many people got two? How many people got one? Okay, how many people tried one? Okay, good man. What did you try?
I tried the frosh.
Frosh, okay. And heard it frosh. And what was, and what happened?
What happens is I know the starting point after I learn all the points. The first place I want to start is to identify the point that's the farthest from the origin.
Why is that?
Because I'm figuring that if that's the farthest from the origin,
yeah,
what'll happen is, it makes sense, which I can't articulate it. I'm figuring that you want to start because it's the farthest. It's a good starting point to start off with, but this way it'll be easier to enclose the rest of the points.
Okay.
And the problem that I can't figure where to go for after
okay,
that.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the. The Herding-Frost problem. Remember what that problem was?
That was a problem where we were given us a pole, given a bunch of points, and we wanted the shortest string that we needed. To tie up all the points together.
That was sort of what that problem was. Let's talk about a, before we get into the details of that one, let's talk about something that I think will help out this problem a lot. And that's talking about a concept in computational geometry, a problem called that of finding the convex hull of a set of points. Okay? So, convex hull is one of the, maybe the most, I think of it as sort of being the most basic computational geometry problem around. Okay? It's sort of like sorting is for sets of integers. It's something you want to do over, you know, a lot. In a lot of, for a lot of different reasons. When you're dealing with points, probably the most important geometric problem is finding the convex hull. So what is the convex hull? Given a set of points in the plane, the convex hull finds the smallest area convex polygon that contains those points. So the input is a set of points. The output is the smallest convex polygon that contains those points. What is a convex polygon? We talked about that last class. All the angles are less than 180 as you walk around the boundary. The internal angles, right? Or equivalently, it's sort of this notion, and what that gives us is that there's no notch, such that you can't draw a line between two points in the polygon, in the region, such that that line, the line thing that connects them, and yet it goes outside the column. So this is not a convex polygon, this one is. Okay? Suppose I give you n points. What's the maximum number of points that you could have on the hull?
N.
Suppose I give you n points. What is the smallest number of points you can have on the hull?
Three, right?
Three, except perhaps in the uninteresting, highly degenerate case, where I give you a bunch of points on the line. Okay? So this is what I would like the answer to be three. But one of the things that we have to remember when we're dealing with computational geometry is that, you know, there's a lot of problems potentially with degeneracy. Okay? So why would, any reasons why we would want to compute convex hull? Can anybody give me some applications potentially in life in general, why you might want to compute convex hulls?
Bounding area elasticity tests and a lot more.
Okay, so one reason why you do it is in computer graphics somehow. Okay, a reason why you might care about this is, again, I'm not an expert on computer graphics these days, but my sense is in computer graphics you spend a lot of time building video games. Okay, and you have these, characters or these things, and they're walking around this environment, and at some point they're going to bump into a simulated wall. And it is very embarrassing in the video game if the, you know, when you bump into a simulated wall, the hand appears on the other side of the wall. The wall is supposed to stop you. Okay? So it's important to know whether two objects collide with each other. That's an important geometric thing to do in testing, you know, in any kind of sort of graphic simulation. Do two things collide? And suppose, let's say, that you have a model of, again, some monster. Here's some ugly monster face. Okay, it's got lots of polygons, lots of triangles. Okay, if you want to see whether this thing collides with a wall, you really have to test every single triangle doesn't collide with the wall. Okay, now what might be a better way to do it? Well, if you could simplify the odd boundary. Let's say by taking the convex hull of the points, you know, if the convex hull does not intersect the wall, then you're okay. If the convex hull does intersect the wall, you're probably in trouble. Okay, you're either you are in trouble. So it's exactly the convex hull is what you need to know. Okay, and there's no reason to test the inner notches.
You know, maybe this is the smile of the monster or something like that. That's not going to help anybody.
Okay. So that's one reason why, okay? Whatever you're analyzing shapes, you know, somehow to get a gross idea of what the shape of the object is, the convex hull is a good first cut, okay? Any questions? Okay, so it turned out to be a very important problem. And As I was once told by somebody when I was coaching the programming teams many years ago, they said, all you have to know, at every single contest, there's a convex hull problem, is what he said. He's not right, but he was almost right. Because somehow they wanted to give a computational geometry problem. And this is the classical sort of computational geometry problem. So given points in the plane, how can we compute the convex hull of the points? Okay? We sort of talked a little bit about it, but can somebody give me some kind of an algorithm for that? Yeah? Keep drawing it so long as two lines overlap, don't know what you mean. So where are the lines? The input here is I'm giving you a set of points. From one point to another, okay, I don't know which point, just point to there. Okay? Don't understand it, but if you're talking about an exponential backtracking type algorithm, then we're in trouble. It shouldn't take that long. Okay? But I'll tell you, you can do this as fast as you can sort. Okay? So it's an n log n type of thing if you know what you're doing. Okay? How might you find the convex hull? Yeah?
The first thing I think of is just use a y-coordinate and find the topmost point, for instance.
Okay, is the topmost point on the convex hull?
Yes.
Does everybody agree with that? Let's think about that. Okay, why is that? Okay, I agree with you, but now let's see if we can open a clear explanation as to why.
Because it has to, all other points have to be, I mean, this if this point connects with any other points, from here to here to arbitrary points, this angle has to be less than 180. Because if it's not, that means that at least one point is above the y-axis.
Okay, that I think is somewhat convincing. Okay? So it's certainly the case, or I guess another notion would be somehow the convex hull has to include this point.
Right.
Okay? And this is the highest point on the y-axis. So, so basically it's got to be there. Okay? But anyway, it's got to be there. I'm not completely sure that's convincing either. Okay? What other points? Yeah, questions? So the topmost point has to be there. The bottommost point has to be there. The leftmost point has to be there. And the rightmost point has to be there. So that gives us how many points on the hull?
Four.
That's not good.
First of all, it's four. How can it give us 4 points on the hull when the smallest hull has 3 points?
Right. And yeah, you could easily have overlapping. Two of those points could be the same point.
Two of those points or more?
More. I mean, if they're all in a line, you could have just two of those points.
I would argue that you could have 2 points here. Each point, the first point here could be both the topmost and the leftmost. And this point could be the bottommost and the rightmost. So I agree you've now got a box around the points. And as a result of that, you have somewhere between 2 and 4 points that are on the hull. Okay? Now how do we find the hull? Yep?
Well, you could start off by trying to find the next point that any points that are on that box must be in the hull. So like you could start by drawing your polygon with all the points that are on the box itself.
Okay.
And you want to start shrinking the polygon down and so you don't have any more imaginary points that wouldn't be points.
Okay, so how do we do the shrinking? Or we sort of agree we have to clip it. But any ideas how we have to shrink it? Yeah. So another way that you, okay, so in principle, this is sort of an idea. What possibilities is you tilt your head, okay? Just say it's rotating the points, really, okay? And now, again, find the topmost, bottommost, and leftmost, right? You know, but it's not clear how much you have to tilt your head for that to have meaning or not, okay? But the idea of tilting something seems to be reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so my initial thought, the reason I was thinking to get to the topmost point is then what I could do is say, well, I know that every point, this is the topmost point, that's defined by a horizontal line. So every point, every other point has to be either on this line or below it.
Right.
So what I would do is say, okay, I have a line, and I have all these points. Okay, take all these points, and this isn't going to be efficient. It would work. I can take all these points and sort them.
By what?
By basically angle from this point.
By angle. So you want to sort the points by angle. Okay.
Right. And then basically I take the topmost point, and that one will be here. This angle is the smallest.
Right.
This angle is larger. This angle is larger.
Angle with respect to what?
Angle with respect from this point and the horizontal line. So of all of these points, you know, I have some theta, I have another theta, I have another theta. This angle is the smallest of them. So if I take that and put that in there, I know that there's no point over here which has a smaller theta.
Okay.
So this one's got to be on the convex hull, and then basically I recurse, and I'm going to have a new line here.
So now what you're going to do is sort and find
the smallest angle from this point to this
and
point.
You don't really need to sort. What you really need to do is to find which is the point that has the smallest angle
right
with respect to your last pivot point.
Yeah.
Okay?
I didn't know how to do that without sorting, but yes. Yeah, so
well, how would you find the smallest one without the pivot point? Do you really need to sort them, or do
you
sweep through them?
Yeah, you can just sweep through them. Yeah, you don't need to sort. Yeah, you just check each one.
Okay. So, question.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know we went over the night and haven't sunk in yet. How would you find that angle?
Okay, well, that angle to me is a little tricky, actually, how you find that angle. Okay? So, but basically, the idea would be you start from, that is his algorithm. Okay? Is you start from a particular point. Again, the basis case is we know that because this was the lowest point, this line is sort of outside the hull. We now find what is the smallest point we can wrap, angle we can wrap up, go up from that, basically, to determine the next point on the hull. And then with respect to the new line, what is the smallest angle we can go through and find? Okay? What he's basically doing is gift wrapping the polygon. Okay? He's starting out with, once he has one edge of the paper, he now wants to figure out where can I fold, how, you know, if I think of this as being wrapping paper, I'm now going to fold it until I hit another point. And that's where it's going to bend from then on out. Okay, yes? So you need, for this gift wrapping, you need to start from one point on the hull. Okay? And once you have one point on the hull, if you can compute the angles with respect to all the points, okay, then you can figure out what the notion is. Okay? Any questions?
Do you need to set up a special case so that, let's say, the two points that are either higher or lower are actually collinear to one another?
Okay, well, collinear is now a trouble. You're 100% right that collinear is something that is potentially a weird thing in hulls. Okay? It should be clear that if I have four collinear points, I had better, at the very least, order them so they go 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, and perhaps ideally drop the middle points from consideration. Okay, let's think about it. If you think about this string problem, we care about the length of the boundary. If we had all the points in collinear order, they were at least in the right order. Summing up the lengths between adjacent pairs would give us the right length. But if these were in some scrambled order, then you'd be in trouble, right? And your life would probably be better if you got rid of them entirely. So that's one kind of issue you would have to worry about. Okay? Now, my question is, do we need to compute angles? Or is there some way we might, last time we talked about this primitive for finding, it was a counterclockwise test? Is there some way we might be able to use our counterclockwise? Computing angles I find very complicated in these things. You know, we're turning around, what is the angle with respect to everything? You try to do a trade, I think that's complicated. Can we use our test? We know that we have a test that given two points and a third point will tell us whether we are to the left or the right of this. Is there a way we can use that primitive to figure out who the next point on the hull would be? Yes. Okay, well, what is my line? Let's think what we're trying to do. In general, here we've got, what is our situation? We have something on the hull so far. We're now trying to find the next point. Here are our points involved. Let's pick a few points.
Pick the round points around. People might like round points.
Can there be any point that's over to the right of this?
No,
because we would have found that one, you know, because that was the design that we had for this being on the hull, right? We're doing gift wrapping. So how can I use my left test, my counterclockwise test?
Seems like you could just do it recursively by just picking an arbitrary point.
Yeah.
And then say, okay, that's fine. Now pick another arbitrary, pick an arbitrary point and make sure it's to the, it's to the left.
Right.
And then say, okay, now pick my next arbitrary point that I haven't selected before. Is that to the left? Good. Okay. And keep going until you reach a contradiction. And if you reach a contradiction, you have to back up a level.
Okay. No, the way that I might try it, I think it's sort of a variation of what he's saying, is what if I now want to tell, my left test tells me, is a point to the left of another point, right? Now, suppose I use two of these things, and I ask myself, let's say I try to make this my third test. Let's say I consider the line that goes from my last hull point.
Oh, you're just going to check the rest of the points to see if they are left or right of that new line.
So what I could now do is to pull out two points. Let's say this was A, this was B, and this was C. If C is to the left of B, can C be the one with the smallest angle?
Can it be the one with the smallest?
But the one that I'm going to hit next.
Right, no.
No, does everybody agree with that? What if, on the other hand, I pick C and it was like this?
C is definitely a smaller angle.
A smaller angle than...
Wait, what did you just feel? I'm sorry, what did you just...
What I'm trying to show you is that I want to show you that with one test, I can eliminate a point from being considered as the next point in the hull. Okay? Why is this? Suppose I do this point, I'm amending my points to go in, let's say, this counterclockwise angle. Okay? So the answer to this predicate, counterclockwise, this, is true. Let's say, I would get clockwise and counterclockwise mixed up, but let's say that that's true. I now want to find which of these other points is the next one in counterclockwise order, which really is this one, right?
Actually, can't any of those points be in counterclockwise order?
All of them are in counterclockwise order, but which is the next one to be encountered by my gift wrapping?
Okay.
It's the one that is the smallest angle, the least in counterclockwise order, if you want to think of it that way. So if I can compute the trig, I could figure that out. But is there a way I can do it using my primitive? Okay? And I want to claim the following is true. Here's one way that you might do it. Let's say I take two other points and say A, B, C. If this is in counterclockwise order, which it is in this case, right? Which point can we eliminate from consideration as being the next one to visit? And suppose it's not in counterclockwise order. Okay? We can eliminate B from consideration. Does everybody agree with that? What I'm trying to do now is to show you the point we want to hit is the one with the smallest angle. Okay? That would be made with respect to this other line. Okay? Trying to compute that angle involves trigonometry. I want to show you don't actually need to compute that angle once you have a correct and robust counterclockwise test. Okay? Because if you go through the points, or I goes from 1 to the n, if n is the number of points, you keep track of the last two points at a time, the current angular high champion, and another one you have not evaluated yet. Okay? If the current angular champion, if they go like this, then we can eliminate this point from consideration. If this counterclockwise test says yes, they are in counterclockwise order. We want the one that is least counterclockwise, so the one that is to the right of that line, or left of that line, is not interesting. If, on the other hand, the points went like this, where it was not, where it was not a counterclockwise turn, but a clockwise turn, now then we can eliminate this point from consideration. And so at one point test, with one counterclockwise test, I claim we can eliminate one of the points from consideration. Does everybody sort of get that? I see a couple of you get it. Julia does not get it. She wants to get it. Okay? Move your hand higher if you want to get it. Okay, yeah, okay. So what is the argument? What does our counterclockwise test do? Given three points, A, B, and C, it tells us, is C to the left or right of the directed line from A to B? Right? Now, if I want to find out which is the next point I should consider, let's take a look at this one here. Over here I've got points A, let's say X, Y, and Z. Which is the next one the hull is going to encounter? Should be X. Now how can I tell? Let me first take any two of those points and ask myself, is the line from my last hull point, so Y, is Z to the left or right of the line X, Y?
It's to the left.
If it's to the left, can Z possibly be the next point that I'm encountering? No, because that meant that I would have hit Y before I hit Z, if I rotate my paper around here, correct? So this counterclockwise test, the fact that this counterclockwise says, yes, X, Y, Z is counterclockwise, means Z cannot be on the, Z cannot be on the hull.
Yet.
Z is not my next point.
We haven't drawn from X to Y yet. That's just a temporary line.
There's a temporary line, right? Okay, but we say that this is a condition for ruling that point out.
Because it's to the left of y, x, y,
and yeah, think about it. We want the point that is going to be the next thing we hit. And when we have the right test, every other point is going to be to the left of this line, right? That's the transition.
You're just ruling out, so you can't be the next. You can't have xc before xy.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. So that's what I'm doing here. So the interesting thing is I can find the max, I can find the min, I can even sort the angle without actually computing the angle. That's the interesting thing here. Okay? So this counterclockwise test primitive is powerful. Okay? Any questions?
The nice thing is that you can actually just take an arbitrary point and, in theory, sort them into possible greater ones and lesser ones.
Yeah.
And, in theory, reduce your possible test by half each time.
I would actually do it an even slicker way to do it. I'm going to say, what about the following approach?
That is in here, 1, 4, 5 points.
Let's say that I want to rule out these points. I have 4.
Oh, yeah, you can do it just...
I goes from 1 to... well, let me say that basically, let's say that I have this less 1. I'm going to say that best is equal to P1. 4i is equal from 2 to n. Basically, is pi less than best? If so, best equals pi. So that's the basic idea that I'm doing here. Okay? Any questions? Okay? So this gives
you... I can't figure out the algorithm.
Tell you what. I'm going to actually show you a different way to compute convex hulls entirely.
Oh.
But we're not going to do it this way. Okay? But it's an important thing. This is actually an interesting trick to lean into it. Okay? But we agree somehow, or if we understood this thing, what was the algorithm going to be doing? For each end on the hull, find the next smallest angle, or the one that's to the left of the if you're finding the rightmost point to the left of it, okay, and keep walking around it, that would give me the hull until I got back to where I started. Okay? What's the time complexity of that one? N times the number of points on the hull. Right? Because for every point on the hull, you're going to be screening every point. Okay? So that might be N squared. Okay? Okay, now I'll show you an algorithm that is n log n, okay? Something called the Gram scan, which in some sense is similar to some of the ideas that we have had before. Or it's sort of based on something. We agree that the lowest point, the point where, let's say, the smallest y coordinate, that one is on the hull, right? We agree that for all the other points, we can find the angle that point makes. Let's say that this is what I did here. So what is the convex hull going to be? It's going to, we can find the angle that it makes. What we're going to do is, one by one, insert points into our hull on the basis of the smallest angle so far. So suppose we sorted the points by angle. The point with this point on the hull, is the point that makes the smallest angle with respect to it on the hull?
What's the third point to make the angle with?
Let's say we're going to sort it with respect to the normal axis. Okay? So we know that if this is the lowest point, everything is in the 180 degrees chunk around here. So we know that the point with the smallest angle is in the hull. What we're now going to do is, one by one, insert points into the hull in the angular order and see how it changes things. Okay? We insert the next point here. Is what we have so far convex? Mm-hmm. We insert the next point here. Is what we have so now so far convex?
What we have now is convex, yeah.
Have right now is convex, but we're heading towards a train wreck, is what you're saying, right? Because it's not that this point doesn't belong on the hull. How do we measure what convex means?
If it's counterclockwise.
If it's counterclockwise. What about we now add the next point?
It's not counterclockwise.
So now what are we going to do? We're going to remove one point. Does that now leave a convex hull?
In this case,
yes, not necessarily. Might have been we had a large chain of points here. But I want to claim that by now walking backwards and deleting the points until we get a convex angle, okay, that will then leave us so far with a convex chain. Does everybody agree with that? Okay. So what would be the example? Let's try one more example just to make sure we understand the algorithm before I show it to you.
Have we already defined a function that checks for counterclockwise and clockwise?
Yes. We gave you a function. In fact, I can even prove it to you. Okay. Yes. CCW, counterclockwise. Okay. So yeah. So here they are. And again, it depends upon the signed angle area, triangle area, which I showed you earlier. Okay? But that's also a few lines long, so it's really not that hard. Okay? So what is the algorithm going to do?
Here we've got a bunch of points that go like that, let's say, like this. Let's say this is it. What are we going to do? This is on the hull, this is on the hull. So far, this is on the hull. This now causes a reflex chain. Okay, so we're going to get rid of this point. We backtrack and everything is fine, right?
Okay, this is maybe, I think what might I do to make it a little more interesting?
I have a nice long reflex chain here. And then sock it to you over here with a point that's on the outside is going to trump it. So what's going to happen? Does this make a reflex chain? Yes. Yes. And oh wait, we did this in angular order. Excuse me.
I guess that's the way. How do I want to get in trouble? Oh, I guess like this.
How would I add a large chain of things that are going to get deleted?
It's easy to just draw the angular fan first and then kind of deflect.
So what do I want to do to let this be deleted if I had this like this? Suppose my points were on this in this order. I would be keeping all of them, right? And then let's say my next point was this. What's going to happen? Does this make an angle, a reflex angle? No, this one is to the right of that. This one is then to the, so we'll eliminate this. This is to the right of it. This is to the right of it. We'll delete all of those, then finally delete that. Okay? Before we now have our reflex angle again. Okay? That is the idea of the Gram scan. Any questions?
Does that have a potential of being coming along, like a long time to take?
Now, how much time might it take to delete? How many points might we delete in any operation? After inserting one point, how many things might we delete?
You could, in theory, delete all of them, or a lot of them. But the thing is you'll never have to re-add them because we've already passed them up in the angular.
Right. So any one insertion might cause n deletions. But every point is going to be deleted at most once. And if it's not deleted, then we stop and don't go any further. So we're doing a constant, at every insertion, we're doing a constant amount of work plus however many things we delete. Okay? And the total deletion is going to be order n. Okay? Some of it may happen before lunch, some of it might happen after lunch. Okay? But I mean, it's all going to be the total at most n.
So the algorithm would be go back a step,
connect the line, see that it's wrong, and go back and...
Yes. If it's wrong, delete the line. Notice that the point that I'm deleting is the last thing that was inserted. So it's not hard for me to find what is the next point I test. It's basically just on this chain. Any questions? Any questions about how that works? Let me show you a program that does this.
Okay? Because this is a non-trivial geometric program. Okay? And when you do it right, it's amazingly elegant. In fact, I'll tell you something. When I wrote the book, there's a guy who reviewed the book who saw my convex hull program, and he didn't like the way I did it. So he showed me this particular algorithm. This is really, I think, very, very slick. Amazingly slick and simple when you do it right. Okay, so let's try to review this thing. And what's more, this is going to be very robust. This is going to test for all possible, basically all those degeneracies like multiple points on a line, you know, and stuff like that. Let's look and see if we can understand what it's doing. So convex hull says that if we have, they can put a set of point endpoints and it's going to return a polygon, which is the hull. Okay? If n is less than 3, if you have less than 3 points, all of them are on the hull, right? If you have 3 or less points, it's a triangle, or it's 2 points, or if it's 1 point, so let's just return that. Basically, copy them into the polygon, and we're done. Okay, the order doesn't even really matter. Otherwise, what I'm going to do is, just to get rid of weird cases, I'm going to sort the points and remove duplicates. Okay? So what is sort going to be doing? Sort is going to be sorting the points by angle. Let's just think what that sort is actually doing. It's an interesting question. Okay? So look at these things. Where am I sorting? That's a good question. Who is smaller angle? Where do I sort them by smaller angle? Ah, here we do. So first I'm sorting and removing duplicates of the points. So how did I do that? Let's not worry about that for now. That's a degeneracy issue. We'll worry about that in a second. Okay? But basically, the first thing I'm going to do is find the smallest point. This is the point with the lowest x angle, x coordinate. This is the point that is on the hull. We're going to call that the first point. That's a result of having sorted them, let's say, by x angles, by x coordinates, or y coordinates, or some way to guarantee me that the first point is on the hull. Now what am I going to do? Okay, I now sort the rest of the points, from the first point to the n minus first point. The end point is now the first. I'm now going to sort them by smaller angle. Okay? Which I claim I can do using my counterclockwise primitive. Okay? I mean, we'll go through that more carefully later, but as you can see, I'm sorting them basically not by computing to trigonometry, but by using my counterclockwise primitive. What am I now going to do? The first point has to be put into the hull. The point with the next smallest angle has to get put in the hull, right? Does everybody agree with that? That the first, the lowest point and the one with the smallest angle with respect to it, both of those get stuck in the hull. Now, what am I doing? Okay, the basic loop is going to be for the rest of the points, if what I get by taking if the top point on my hull and the top minus first point on the hull and the next point do not form a counterclockwise angle. Again, you have to make sure you get the order of these things right. That means that I did not have a convex angle. This is basically the test of whether I had a convex angle. If so, delete the middle point. Everybody sort of agrees that's basically what's happening here. That I've got, let's just see which angle point is which. Here's my hull. These are my last two points on my hull. Okay, these two. Here's my new point. If
This is top, presumably top minus one. I don't remember if it's top minus one or top. I don't know if it's, let's say top and top minus one. The point that I'm going to remove is top. Does everybody agree with that? So basically it says decrement top by one and keep doing this until it's no longer, the angle is no longer greater than, it makes a wrong turn. If it makes a right turn, just copy that point onto the hull and keep going. Any questions? Okay. I mean, you have to convince yourself that the order of these are right. And this is something that is probably, we'd have to sit back and review a little bit. Okay, but the basic logic of that should be clear. The order of these may be a little confusing. Any questions? And what's good about it, what else is kind of cute, how do we handle this, the ending case? What is the ending case of this? Okay? So we have to, at the end, test if the last point, the first point, okay? If you think about it, what if the convex chain looks like this? Somehow you have to test at the end all these points against the first point, right? To eliminate these guys. Okay? So how was this done? This was done very, very elegantly. By simply adding, copying the first point to the end of the input again. So we knew that the last point, the first point that we chose, is appearing twice in the data set. Once with the lowest angle and once with the highest angle. Okay? And therefore we know that these points will be removed when we consider the last point. Okay? Is that sort of clear? If that's clear or not. You have to probably study this a little bit. This is a kind of an elegant thing. But somehow this is an example where they did a good job of when they used a sentinel. By copying the first point to the end, they avoided that special case. Any questions? Okay. How do we compute the smaller angle? Okay. Well, given two points, which one makes the smaller angle? That's really what I want to now do. If I want to sort the points by angle around the origin or around the first point, see how I'm going to use this as a predicate to my quicksort? Quicksort took two arguments, one of which was, I wanted to know which was should be first in sorted order. The angle test involves three points, but one of them I stored in the global variable first point. So that's why I didn't need it in my parameters here. But basically, what did I say? I said if the three points were collinear, this was this troublesome case that we had before, where what if we had multiple points that were collinear with our origin? The one we want on the hull is the one that is furthest from that, correct? So if we have points that are collinear, we'll then worry about sort them by distance. Then we want the one that's furthest away, is actually the preferred next point to hit. Okay? Otherwise, we test simply, does the first point, second point, third point, is that a counterclockwise angle or not? And depending upon that, we can decide which one appears first. Any questions? Yep?
Smaller angle is a function of two parameters.
Yes.
I'm just looking at the definition of the convex hull. It says smaller angle without any parameters in the declaration.
Oh, well, why? This is against a C. Okay, I'm doing C. This says that smaller angle is a function. C does not check the type of the arguments.
That's a bad thing, but that's life. Oh, that's what it is. So it doesn't check the type of these arguments. Okay? So that's why it has no arguments. Any questions?
Yeah, I have a question on the other page.
Yeah.
It's sorting them by distance relative to the first point, which is the lowest point. Right?
Yeah.
It seems like that makes sense for the ones that are... So, like, over here, if we have a bunch of collinear points, we definitely want this one.
Yeah.
But as we're coming around and over here, don't we want this one? I mean, if we, want this line...
Well, what I want you to do, if you want to do, suppose that what we really want to do is eliminate all points, these intermediate collinear points. They can only cause trouble. So we don't want them to be on the hull. Okay? So how might we avoid that? Well, we would avoid that if the next point that we want to add is... Okay, again, you have to put yourself back in this case. There's two possibilities. One is that we add them in this point, and we set it so that we delete... I think that may be how it works, okay?
Right.
It may be that we add them in terms of how close they are, knowing that we will delete them later. Okay, you have to think through that case to make sure, see why it actually works. But it's designed to work. Okay? Any questions? Okay? Finally, the other one part, just to make sure, which looked a little bit ugly, was how did we sort the points to remove duplicates? Okay, because again, it turns out duplicate points cause trouble. I mean, what should I have two copies of the exact same point? How do we get rid of that? Well, what did I do? Okay, I sorted the points according to which was left lower. Yeah, I first sorted them by leftmost, meaning the x-coordinate, and then by the y-coordinate to break ties. And then once I had them sorted, I knew neighboring points to each other were... if two points were identical, they were next to each other. So I then used this loop to basically just go and delete. You know, it's somehow more complicated than it probably should be, but just delete, you know, make sure I only kept one copy of two identical copies of the points next to each other. Any questions? Okay? So this is, if you look at the book, look at the example of the book carefully, and if possible, if you need to use the convex hull routine, you can try to, I would say, edit it or write around it rather than try to rewrite it from scratch, because that's a pretty subtle thing. Any question? It's not so, I mean, it's 50 lines long. It's not that long, okay, but it's a little bit subtle. Yeah.
Just trying to think how this ties in with the Hurry Cross problem. It looks like on the Hurry Cross problem,
yeah,
the convex hole, except for the light hole, which may not be.
Right, so now what is the problem here? The problem with Herring-Frosch, remember, was that you wanted to find the smallest amount of rope you needed to tie up all the points and tie them to a pole. So we had a special point, and we have a bunch of other points. And we want to find the smallest polygon, the smallest perimeter polygon, which will tie them all up. Okay? Now, in an example like this, is it the convex hull? Yes. Why is that? Because the pole is on the hull, right? So if, in fact, the pole is to one side of all those people, basically, you could just wrap it around it. That's the convex hull of all those points. But what about the case where, so in the general case, it is just the convex hull, right? Or in that special case. The general case we have is a problem. We have a pole that has to be it. If that pole is within the convex polygon, how do we do it?
It seems to me that
at pressing the loop sign of the convex hull normally, and then we take all the remaining points that are left, and for each point find the distance between them and the hull and the shortest distance, and just throw the connecting to that one.
Okay, so now you've got this, now what do you want to do?
Now you would like take all the points and find distance for each of them to the hull, and then when you find the modal position distance, that would be the one that you connect it to.
Well, I don't see any reason why you should be connecting it to the one with the least distance. Okay, and then let's come up with a counterexample. Yeah?
Yeah, that's because I was thinking the same thing. So if I do this, I have here, that pole is here, and I have another point, say, basically here. Across, then my normal thing is like this. If I take the closest two points, I'm going to get that. So I want the garage.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You want to take the closest on one point.
So,
unless there's a pole coming in at that point,
and that is mostly a two marks.
I don't see why
you're doubling this line. Seems like there's probably a quicker way to do it.
Well, wait, so what way did you do it? Wait, so what do you propose? What possibility would be? You say, you mean you try it, which is the closest of the convex hull points? Not that you don't care about the interior points.
No, you just the hull points. Yeah.
So you think one way you could do it is you could go out to there, ride back, and then come back here. Is that going to be the shortest way? To run out to the hull and come back that way?
Possibly.
I will say possibly not. Okay? Suppose this was my hull. Would I be better off taking this shortcut here than returning that way?
Yeah.
Okay? You sort of believe that?
Would that be a definite though? Because what if one point is very close to the light pole, but all other points are very far?
Well, what do you mean? If there's one point that's very close to here.
One point on the pole that's close to the light pole, right, but all other points are very far away.
Sure.
You're saying we'll take a shortcut over here,
yeah,
but what if instead of this point, we had a point way over here? Then it might not make sense to make a shortcut anymore. Or is it because of the triangle that it would always
Okay. I don't see why this is it. I don't see why this line of reasoning is taking us anywhere. Okay? It's my immediate sense. Okay?
What do you mean by shortcut?
Well, shortcut. Again, maybe we need to draw the pictures more carefully. What is our problem here? Let's look at some examples where it might be trouble. Let's say that our points were, let's say it was a heart.
Okay.
So let's say that the frosts were arranged in a heart-shaped pattern. And this was our pole. Maybe there's some other frost in here. I think that it's quite logical, quite possible that the pattern would be the heart. Does everybody sort of agree with that? Okay, and there might be a lot of points on that chain. Okay?
Isn't it like not convex at the top though?
It's not convex. That's because we're forced to include this point in the middle. It's actually costing us more rope than if we would connect it together. But you have to tie this guy to the pole. There's no way around the pole. Okay? Well, any ideas of something that might prove correct? Let's think about a way we might do this that could be correct, rather than something we hope is correct. Okay? I mean, somehow, because you can go with these geometric cases, it's hard to reason about. Okay? Any ideas? For the record, by the way, I thought when I put the book together, the convex hull was the answer. Okay? So I'm now scrambling a little bit here. Yes?
hey, is there maybe a way to modify the convex hull algorithm to always include that one point, to say that that point must be hit, and decide that to be convex?
Well, I don't know what the size of that means convex means. Okay? I mean, so what you're saying is, can we modify the convex hull routine? That sounds like a good idea. Okay? But what is sort of the idea that I think we would be wanting to try? Okay? My sense is that the right answer is going to be working as follows. Do we agree that the right answer, the points are going to be in some kind of angular order around the pole?
Seems like we might use the algorithm that we were talking about earlier, where you just kind of sweep, you know, pick a point, you know, sweep out, and see if other points are to the left or right.
Does everybody sort of get that kind of an idea? Is it clear that, first of all, let's come up with a proof. Is it clear that we're only going to make our thing longer if we, I mean, zigzag this way back across here? Okay, is there any reason why we wouldn't be better off just sort of having cut through there and eliminated this instead of that? No, that's not, maybe not quite approved. Okay, what would be, so we need to, my hunch is that the angular order needs to be preserved, that in the shortest way of doing it, okay, like, you know, that somehow that you're going to respect the angular order of the points. Okay? Now, why is that? I think that the argument would be that if you did go from left to right, wouldn't you have been better off cutting that point out and keeping the angles going, you know, sort of removing these detours? One by one?
Sure, you've got a straight line then.
Yeah, well, this way you have a straight line. I think that's actually the argument here. Right. Basically, between here and that, the ultimate point, the first point that's going to be to the left of it, you're going to have to get to that point somehow anyway. The shortest way to do that would be with a straight line. Okay, so I think we now have a proof that the angular order is what's respected. So what is it that you want to do? It sounds to me like what you want to do is something like if-wrapping. Okay, where you start out with the point, you find a next. Start out with a particular point, you tell me I'm going to start out going from here. Let's say that you guess what the next point on the surface is. And now you just keep rolling your paper. Until you get back to your original point. Okay? Is that clear? So now that you've got this set of points that are unused and your pole. Okay? It would seem to me that once, if you knew how to start, that your problem is just rolling it. Okay? Does everybody agree with that? And that's basically the exact same kind of test that we talked about. You really want to find out which is the point of the remaining points that is the least counterclockwise most relative to this, right?
How would we go about getting the second point?
How would we go about getting the second point? Any ideas? Of this algorithm, then? What's the time complexity of this now? You try n candidates for the second point.
And then to get to the long round, it means it has to require up to n squared in the worst case.
Why is that? Oh, okay. I guess what you're saying is you're right, because I'm going to try at every point. The next angle is that you want to gift wrap this thing around here. So I could admit that that might be n squared if I had to do it. But what if I had these points sorted by angle around here? Maybe my Gram scan idea. Will that still work? Is it true that if I could, we now know that the points we're interested in are sorted by angle, right? That's still true, it looks like to me, right? So what if I have the points sorted by angle? My real question is, as I add the next point in angular order, does that take anybody else out of the picture, right? Does everybody see that? So in fact, the Gram scan-like thing will do the job. Okay, so if you really are upset at the possibility of spending n squared time to do something that really should take order n, this is the way to do it. Okay, everybody see? So I'll see that the basic invariant we want to maintain, that's the same as with Gram scan, is we want to build a convex chain with the points sorted around this. Okay? So it might be basically, okay, something like just doing Gram scan around this point with every possible point tried as a second point and pick the best one.
Like squared log n.
Well, how much time should they? How many times do you have to sort the points?
Well, you only have to sort the points.
So what's that? N log n. How much time does it take to do a Gram scan from, you know, once you fix the first two edges and the points are already sorted?
One for each thing, so it's just n.
That's just n. So in fact, it's going to be n log n plus n squared.
Okay.
So it's an n squared type algorithm, if you do it right. Is that, what's the size of the problem? Does n squared look like trouble?
I think no more than 1,000 freshman students.
1,000? 1,000 squared? That doesn't frighten me. Okay. What?
Unless we have a lot of
steps. Well, but that's the way that I would think of doing it. Okay, so does everybody sort of see that it's not exactly the Gram scan algorithm? But it's the Gram scan algorithm with relatively little modification. Okay, that's actually, I mean, you know, you have to be careful here before you do it. But let's make sure that we understand it so we can give it an honest try. Okay, I mean, I don't know if people are happy or not happy with the solution, if they're frightened by it. But basically, you've got a Gram scan program. It's sitting here in the book, and it's sitting on the website. The biggest difference between it and what we want to do, I think, is that instead of trying a... what is this thing here? I don't know if I know where my thing is. But basically, if you look at it in the book... Here it is, okay. Seems to me that you want to sort it not around the lowest point, but sort it around the pole. Then, copy point, what I now say here, copy the second point into the hull. The zero point was the origin. The second point is this. What I'd really probably want to do is that before I goes from one to n, copy the ith point here. Okay? And then repeat this sort of same, basically just do the same thing, you know, making sure that you round, you know, you round the points appropriately. Okay? So I will actually believe that you can solve this problem with the appropriate 10 lines to this routine, modification to this routine. That's my belief. Okay? Yes?
So since the Gram scan won't allow it to be concave at all, if you want it to be concave just for the light bulb,
note that it's not concave just for the light bulb. Notice that it's concave all around. Okay?
And so you get to the end, because then it doesn't matter.
Well, it's concave except that you're not allowing yourself to. It's not. This is the only. There's only one angle here. You're saying basically the wraparound condition doesn't have to hold. But otherwise, it's concave all around.
Right. Would we remove the copy point?
I would probably say you want to remove the copy the first point back to the end, the sentinel business. You don't want to mess with, there's no reason to mess with the sentinel. Because you don't want to remove this thing. Okay? But so long as you don't test for it, is this relationship concave, then everything's going to be fine, right? Okay? So I think that with an appropriate modification of this, which is not that complicated, you can probably do it. Okay? Any questions about that? How many people have some faith?
Yes.
Some faith. How many people feel brave enough to try it this weekend? Okay? That's good. That's good. What? Well, okay. I would probably say, if I were you, I would probably, knowing what we know now, stick to the C. Let's just take a look at the other problems, just in case there's one that might catch your fancy a little bit more now that we know how to do it. Where are they? 325. Hold on. Let's just take a look at it. Chainsaw Massacre. That actually is one that is in fact kind of attractive because here you're given a set of trees.
An arrangement of trees. A grid of trees. And you want to find the largest area empty rectangle. Okay, in this case it was this one. Okay, any ideas how you might do that one? So one nice thing about this is we're dealing with rectangles. Rectangles are the kind of geometry that you and I feel pretty good about, right? Okay? Especially these like points on integer rectangles, they're grid points. So how might we specify such a rectangle? So first of all, how many points, how big is the area of points that we could have? What does the problem say about the types of trees that we can have? Say anything interesting? It says that there are, that the length and width are basically 10,000 or so. And everything's an integer coordinate, right?
So this is basically, it's sort of like you've got a grid of pixels. Where this is 10,000 by 10,000. And some of these points are pixels and some of them are not. How many rectangles are there that you can define on this 10,000 by 10,000?
Without
worrying about the trees. How many interesting rectangles are there?
Lots.
Well, it's not factorial.
Exponential.
It may be large, but it's not exponential. How many? I mean, what is it? We know that these are all integer points, right?
Yeah.
How do we describe a rectangle that is interesting?
It has four sides.
It has four sides. What are the possible, or equivalently four points, right?
Four points, yeah.
How many possible utilities are there for this point?
10,000 minus 1. Assuming, well,
10,000.
Call it 10,000.
10,000 times 10,000, right?
Right.
Okay.
Why is it squared?
Because you have an x coordinate and a y coordinate.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Okay. How many possibilities for this one?
10,000 squared.
Is it 10,000 squared?
But you can subtract. I mean, if you're smart, you can. You know that it has to be greater than the other one. It's going to be.
You know that the x coordinate here is greater than that x coordinate. What do we know about the y coordinate here? So how much extra complexity does this add to it? Not 10,000 squared, but 10,000, right? Right, because the y coordinate here, if we're wrapping around, is the same. We haven't learned anything. How much did we learn going up to here? How much do we go back wrap around there?
That's true.
So my first claim is that there's only 10,000 to the fourth interesting rectangles. Does everybody agree with that? It's still large, okay, I'm not telling you that that's great news, but it's some news, okay? And my question is, do we need to try all rectangles? Are all rectangles the ones of interest? Or maybe only rectangles where this basically goes through trees, right? How many trees do you have?
Most of them.
So now what is that? Suppose we describe our rectangle by those four trees that are on the boundary. How many rectangles of interest might there be? A thousand times a thousand times a thousand to the fourth. Which is better than 10,000 to the fourth, right? Is a thousand to the fourth yet an interesting number? Or still too big? Well, maybe there's a way to make it smaller. Okay? Think about it and try the convex hull one. Think about this and we'll talk about these next class. Finally, remember, next week, I'm happy to discuss any other problems that you guys had from the whole semester. And if you don't, I'm going to threaten you with new material on grids. Okay, so come with your favorite problems. Okay? Thanks a lot. We'll talk then.
Stupid question, Ben.
Okay, hold on. Let me turn it off. I'm asking a real stupid question. You know.